Blog Talk Radio.
Morning. Yay, that is an awesome way to start a morning. How are you guys doing over there at 8-Bit Weapon? In case you can tell, this is our favorite song of yours.
Totally, yes.
The others are minorly epic, but this is epic, epic.
Yes.
Good morning. Oh, it's way early. Wow. I keep looking at the time going, something is not right here. So in case you guys had noticed, we're on a whole hour earlier. Some of you are going to be angry.
60 whole minutes.
Some of you are going to be listening to us at 11 anyway, because that's when you eat your lunch. So if you're listening at 11, we're not live. Don't be trying to click or tweet and stuff. And
no, you can tweet. I may be here to tweet you back.
Yeah, but you may not know what the hell they're talking about. You ever have
this? This is true.
You listen to the news, and then later in the day, and they're tweeting us about it. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about when we said this morning.
Nobody ever tweets me in the afternoons. I'm so upset about this. People tweet me.
Well, tweet the ginger. Please tweet.
Tweet me hard.
Oh, ginger. You know what?
What?
It's getting worse. What are we going to do?
I didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't do anything. I was in here coughing. It wasn't me.
So we're doing the show in some interesting new fashions. Ginger's wearing a T-shirt and nothing else. And I got a towel on. So it's fun all around.
Yes.
Alrighty, let's do it.
It's Friday, baby. Oh, we're getting crazy today.
Mostly we're just up a little early.
This is true. I was like, oh, a whole hour earlier.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Yes.
That's fine. My alarm goes off. I can't really gripe too much. I mean, I know some of y'all are up at like 5 a.m. getting ready for work, heading out the door, so you're there by 8. Mm. I roll out of bed at 7:30 when the alarm clock goes off.
Walk down the hall, avoid the traffic.
Yeah.
The corner by the bathroom and the living room, and come on and off.
You know, you get up, you take a nice, long, hot shower. Everybody else started at work. It's nice. And if you live out in the boonies, you got the whole pressure issue. If people are all trying to shower at the same time, it's really annoying.
Really?
Really.
I don't have that problem.
Well, that's because you don't live out in the boonies.
Oh, this is just could be true.
Yeah.
All right, Gigi, let's do this.
All right, hold on. My lungs up. I've been doing it for the last 2 weeks. Oh, it's horrible. All right. GOG.com says Steam's discounting practices hurts gamers and devalues games. Are you listening, Blaster?
Yeah, we were going to talk about that last night, yeah. but we could do it this morning.
All right. So in a recent interview with Rock Paper Shotgun, GOG.com's managing director, Giuliani Bramberg, and I probably said your name wrong, I'm sorry, and marketing head Trevor Longino, try to make the case that Steam's practice of discounting games actually hurts developers in the long run. The duo questions the frequent sales on Steam, adding that heavy discounting also sends the wrong message to gamers. Selling games at too high a discount often sees discounts above 80%. Selling games too high a discount often, one often sees discounts above 80% off here and there sends a message to the gamers. This game, simply put, isn't worth very much. Of course, you make thousands and thousands of sales of a game when it's that cheap, but you're damaging the long-term value of your brand because people will just wait for the next insane sale. Oh, seriously, coughing. Okay, so we all know gamers who spend... I lost my place because I was coughing. Slash of the price of your game is easy. Improving the content of your offer when you release your game, that's more ambitious. Rembert continued by saying that his focus is on convincing gamers to spend their money on games when they are released by adding value. Heavy discounts are bad for gamers, too. If a gamer buys a game he or she doesn't want just because it's on sale, they are being trained to make bad purchases, and they're also learning that games aren't valuable. We all know gamers who spend more every month on games than they want to just because there were too many games that were discounted too deeply. That's not good for anyone. Remberg admitted that one thing Steam sales do is convince people who are unsure about a certain product to give it a try because the risk is a lot lower. At the end of the day, some kind of happy medium between the two extremes. I see an item mall in between the two extremes is what I see.
You see an item mall? What?
Well, yeah, you know, you discount your game to get people to buy it, and then it's got an item mall, you know, so they bought your game cheap, they might not have otherwise played it. You get them in, and they find out, hey, this game's not so bad. They actually like playing. And then you got the item mall where they want to buy other stuff from you. So you make it up.
Mm, I see what you mean. I see there. See what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Our Ginger is smart. We did tell you this.
Some days I am.
Our Ginger is very smart. All right. And we tell you all the time, if you keep abreast of our games, job boards, you... You bet. If you keep the rest of our jobs board on GameAndHX.com, you'd already know this. But Valve is hiring. Mm-hmm. Rumors of a so-called Steam box have been flying high for a while now. Valve's Gabe Newell has talked about working on hardware prototypes, but that doesn't mean an actual Steam box will ever see the light of day. Valve has, however, confirmed via job posting that it's currently developing hardware to enhance game experiences. According to the post for an electronics engineer on Valve's jobs page, and probably somewhere on ours as well, for years Valve has been all about writing software that provides great gameplay experiences. Now we're developing hardware to enhance those experiences, and you can be a key part of making that happen. Join our highly motivated team!
Yay!
It's doing hardware design, prototyping, testing, and production across a wide range of platforms. We're not talking about Me Too mice and gamepads here. Help us invent whole new gaming experiences. Now, one theory is that Valve could be working on a controller with biometric feedback rather than an actual Steam box, but there's no way of knowing for sure. This would kind of be along the lines of what OnLive has, which is they have their own controller for you to play with if you have OnLive. Recently told Penny Arcade, he says, we're trying to get the experiments we've been doing in. You know, we did a ton of work on biofeedback, on biometrics, and that'll, you know what, Gabe, stop, just stop. From our point of view, we'll be like, okay, this is all sort of proven out, and we're sort of scratching our heads trying to figure out the best way to get that hardware out to customers without something where we just say, okay, this works. It's not a question of whether or not this is going to be useful for customers, whether it's not going to be useful for content developers. It's figuring out the best way we can get these into people's hands. Gabe, you just sell them. that's pretty much it. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll get a Steam box. Maybe not. Would you buy it, Ginger?
Oh, muted. Sorry. I'm over here muted. Yeah, because I'm mouthing off at somebody on Twitter. I might. Buy a Steam box. Just to say that I have it.
Just to say you have it?
Yeah.
Ginger?
What?
Bad Ginger.
Oh, I know, totally. But, you know, I'm one of those geeks. I'm all like, yeah, I want to
tell
Blaster I have it.
Have it is what it is. That's what you want.
Yes. I totally be like, Blaster, look at my box. No, you cannot touch my box. It's just my box.
Ooh, this is not your box, it's my box.
Yes.
All right.
It'd be nice. All right. First, yes, Hastro. Yeah, Girls Don't Sweat, Weak Listen. So, yeah. Anyways.
wait a minute. Somebody said something to you and to us?
Oh, no. They were mouthing off at Gamer Group USA. They said, keep up the good fight versus sweaty hands, boys. And I was like, wait a minute. Yes, because those girls never break a sweat. But then, you know, I realized what he's saying there. But, yeah.
Hands up the desk, Ginger. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to.
What? I'm about you.
I blame snow.
Mm-mm.
Right. What have we got? Microsoft versus Motorola. Patent war takes odd turn.
Oh, man.
Yeah. United States District Court has ruled that Microsoft can continue to sell Windows and Xbox 360 products in Germany, even if a German court rules in favor of an injunction request filed by Motorola. The dust-up, as reported by Ars Technica, is related to a patented technology essential to the H.264 video standard, which Microsoft uses in its software products. To say the ruling is unusual would be an understatement, because a U.S. court is basically interfering in a region it doesn't have any jurisdiction over. Yeah, because, you know, us U.S. courts, we never go after people we shouldn't. You know, we don't stick our nose where it doesn't belong.
Never,
no, none of that.
Never.
All right, so Judge James Robart of the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Washington granted Microsoft a temporary restraining order after agreeing with the company's argument that allowing the German court's injunction to go forward might compel Microsoft to negotiate a license under German law. In turn, the U.S. court would lose its opportunity to make its own ruling on similar licensing issues. Microsoft argued that the U.S. court should be the one to rule on the issue, because Microsoft filed its lawsuit against Motorola over the terms of a licensing deal before Motorola filed its lawsuit in Germany. Motorola Mobility sued Microsoft over the use of technology related to the H.264 video standard. Microsoft countered that Motorola is trying to charge fees that are too high for patents licensed under FRAND, Fair, Reasonable, and Non-Discriminatory Terms. The German court is expected to rule April 17th on Motorola's motions to prevent sale of Windows software and Xbox 360. The U.S. court ruling bars Motorola from taking steps to carry out injunctive relief granted by the German court until the U.S. court rules on an original patent case filed in Seattle. I can't talk. Yeah, so, Germany versus U.S. Yay! Have I heard this before?
Well, Ginger just told you about Microsoft. What is it? Microsoft versus who are they fighting? Motorola. I think I just tweeted that wrong. Anyway, but you guys will live. And then now we have in this other corner, Apple versus the DOJ. Apple is denying the DOJ's ebook collusion claims. It says it broke Amazon's monopolistic grip. I had to spit that one out slowly. Okay, so first of all, we need to cover collusion. What is collusion? Well, Apple last night denied the Department of Justice's antitrust claims that it illegally fixed ebook prices with major publishers, which ultimately made ebooks more expensive than they were prior to the launch of Apple's iBook store. Apple is joined by Penguin Group and Macmillan, who are also denying the antitrust claims. HarperCollins and Simon Schuster, on the other hand, settled with the government on Wednesday morning. Mm-hmm. Tom Numeri, a spokesman for Apple, released a statement last night that said the DOJ's accusation of collusion against Apple is simply not true. The launch of the iBook store in 2010 fostered innovation and competition, breaking Amazon grip on the publishing industry. Since then, customers have benefited from ebooks that are more interactive and engaging, just as we've allowed developers to set prices on the App Store, publishers set prices on the iBook Store. Following the Department of Justice suit, 16 states followed up with lawsuits of their own. Ooh. VentureBeat is reporting at the issue is Apple's own use of an agency model to set ebook prices, which gave publishers the ability to control the prices. That's all well and good, but Apple's also arranged it so that the publishers can't offer their books any cheaper anywhere else on the web, and that is such crap. That's collusion right there. Amazon's Kindle store. Now that this agency structure is being questioned, you'll probably see the ebook prices dip in the next few years, and maybe they'll loosen up that stranglehold they have on the publishers and let them publish your books elsewhere. Maybe Apple, you should get together with Groupon and say, if you come with us, maybe we'll give you a coupon for something. And then that's how you keep your people. Don't try to lock them down. That's kind of like Suge Knight-ish or something. What if, you know? I had to go with the Suge
Knight-ish.
Yeah, where he's like, if you put your books with somebody else, I'm gonna kill you. Your books stay on the App Store. Let the people.
better
be on the App Store. If you don't know who Suge Knight is, you're young, or you don't listen to hip hop, go look him up. You'll see exactly what I mean. Apple's being very Suge Knight-ish with this whole ebook thing. Let the publishers go.
Let the publishers go. All right, I got a call because
You got a cough?
I'm so tired of being congested. It's horrible. So Rimmick Entertainment is proud to announce that Death Rally for Android is now available worldwide on Google Play. Yay! In celebration of the launch, Remedy is giving away the game for free. That's right, free. The Android version's free-to-play model will be supported by an in-app purchase system that can be used to purchase more tracks, cars, and guns. Additional parts can be gained for free by performing TapJoy-sponsored actions. Of course, gameplay is and will always be completely free-to-play. Death Rally is an intense, action-packed, top-down racing game with addictive gameplay and guns. Lots of guns. Rawr, I like guns. Make a run for the finish line with a trail of burnt rubber and spent shells behind you, along with the flaming wreckage of any opponent dumb enough to get in your way. Death Rally for Android requires an Android device with multi-touch display, OpenGL ES 2.0 graphics acceleration, ARM version 7 compatible CPU, Android operating system 2.2 or later. All right, and they got a whole list of Androids that have been tested, and I'm going to give them to you over on GameAndAtrix.com, so you got to go find them over there. Sorry, folks.
Oh, I'm all muted. I'm laughing. Just so you guys know, did I tell them on air last night how to get Angry Birds for free? Did I say that? Angry Birds Space?
I don't know. I know we were bashing Maxim a lot. So
yeah. Well, those of you who have a Droid can get Angry Birds Space for free. All you need to do is have a Google Plus account. Go over and check the free games section, and you'll need to make sure that Google Plus has your phone model, and your phone number on file, and you just click it to install, and then select your phone, and it'll download to your phone for you, and then you can play your Angry Birds Space for free.
Cool.
That is so nice.
Still not playing that damn game.
So I'm guessing there's
Angry Birds.
Yeah, and they're also working with Hook Media, who we reviewed a couple of months ago. If you remember Hook Media, we kind of compared it to kind of like having an Xbox Live Marketplace when it actually worked for your phone. And as far as we know, I don't think this works for iPhone. Sorry, iPhone people. Droid. Okay.
Droid for life, baby.
So how would you like it if your Need for Speed starred Brad Pitt? What do you think?
Are we talking the young one or the old one?
Well, we're talking a real-life version.
Brad Pitt is kind of a...
He's kind of frumpy. But I'm actually talking about Need for Speed. The movie is being pitched. Yes, EA is wanting to make a Need for Speed movie and they're likening it unto the Fast and the Furious.
Not put in Brad Pitt.
No, it's a possibility. Oh. You may grab, you know how it goes. But anyway, they're looking... for somebody to pick it up. So the mega game publisher said they will turn to John Gattens, who worked on DreamWorks Real Field develop a pitch for the movie with George Gattens. EA rep United Talent Agency will pitch the package around Hollywood studios to the likes of Warner Brothers, Sony, and Paramount. EA, really? Right now, Paramount is considered a front runner, and the price for the rights is expected to be in the low seven figures. Need for Speed's latest incarnation, The Run, was something of an attribute to Cannonball Run. The game featured a plot like a Hollywood blockbuster, which we read about. I wanted to play it for that reason, but we just never got around to it. And also starred actors Sean Ferris from Never Back Down, Yours, Mine, and Ours, The King of Fighters, and also Christina Hendricks from Mad Men, Firefly, and Life. You remember her? UTA has worked with EA since 2008 and has shopped around a variety of their franchises, from Spore to The Sims to Mass Effect and Dead Space. Why would you want to make movies around any of it? Well, the Mass Effect movie I would want to see, and maybe even Dead Space, but a Sims and Spore movie, I'm going to say no to that.
Spore, maybe, if it were amusing. Sims, oh, hell no. Why would I do that? I'm not for that.
Girl, Spore, if they did a movie, would cause all kinds of havoc, because you know the anti-creationists would come out, because that's what Spore is about, pretty much. Evolution.
This is true. This is true. But, you know, I don't know.
I want to see GTA, the movie, and I want it to be GTA 4 or a GTA starring a woman, and then I want a game to come out at the same time.
Oh, rawr.
Give us a woman. I've already said, if you just call up the brat, she's perfect. She's feminine and she's hardcore. Just call her up and stick her in there.
That could be awesome. That could be very good, actually.
And you all could go the extra gamut and do a BioWare and make it where she can be straight or gay, because there is question, of course, just to whether she's not. She could be straight or gay. There you go. There's an extra storyline. Come on.
Sure, why not? That could be fun. That could be a lot of fun, actually.
She could be both, because I usually like to do that with my characters, just to confuse the hell out of folks.
Oh, wow.
I know how it works. All right.
It's my go again. Capcom's Better Business Bureau rating takes a hit.
Oh.
Yeah. After multiple complaints were filed by gamers who were upset over hidden DLC on the retail discs for Street Fighter X Tekken, with the Better Business Bureau, Capcom's immaculate rating with the organization has taken a pretty dramatic hit. According to a Cinema Blend report, Capcom has gone from a plus rating to a B.
Uh-oh.
It was a B. The hit is, anybody who knows that line, yeah, I love that movie. The hit is due to gamers complaining about the company's policy concerning on-discs DLC, which it has tried to defend in its official response to the organization. The uproar in this particular case has to do with 12 extra characters that will be made available this fall in the PS Vita version of the Street Fighter X Tekken. When gamers found out that these characters would be made available as DLC and that they were already on the discs they bought at retail, some players were outraged. Outraged, I tell you.
Outraged.
Yes. So the way of thinking, Capcom was forcing them to buy content that was on a disc they already paid for. Therefore, it shouldn't cost them any additional money. A flippin' men.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. It's on the disc. Just give me the damn thing. Capcom says that it does this with its games for the sake of compatibility between those who buy the DLC and those who don't. In the grand scheme of things, we don't think having its BBB rating lowered hurts. Having its BBB rating lowered hurts Capcom's ability to sell games at retail, but it certainly tarnishes the company's overall public reputation. It is, at the very least, a moral victory for those consumers that took the time to complain to the BBB. You know what? Complain to the BB. You do that, most businesses will jump to fix their stuff.
Not really. You know why? Here's the bad part. The BBB actually, for the most part, other than, you know, being a place where people go to check things out, has no power. Actually, Angie's List has more power than BBB.
You know, Angie's List is not here. It needs them here.
Yeah, I think you just sign up and then you just start talking about people there. But she actually charges as a difference. BBB is free, but they don't really do anything. It's not like they go over and they find them or something or investigate. I mean,
with a baseball bat.
Yeah, they just say, you know, you took this person's money. You should really give it back. No, BBB, you need to get some more power because it doesn't help. It really doesn't.
That's true.
Because
I don't know. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been taking for money and talk to them, and they'll be like, "Well, we did." That's another thing. They don't have the ability to do anything if it's on the web, so they're really limited in how much power they have on the web. In case you didn't know, and I'm not trying to put down the BBB. I think you're a great organization, but you really need to do something to get a little bit more power. Get into the new millennium. I don't know. Hire some hackers or something. I don't know. Something needs to be done.
No, I know when I complained about Time Warner, man, those people tripped over themselves trying to fix my stuff.
Well, see, they're a little
different. I got, like, line and everything.
Yeah, that's a little different when it's Time Warner. But smaller businesses that fly under the radar, really, they just get away with murder.
Yeah, like, I forget who it was. Some chick that was way up the ladder was like, here's my personal number. Call me Dare Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Fix this for you.
You know what? You should have taken her up on that and called her and said, you know what? I'm just not feeling good. I thought I'd call you, girl. What are you doing?
I think I still have her number around here.
At like 4 in the morning. That's what I do with people. You don't ever say that just to be nice. I will call you at 4 in the morning. Girl, I can't sleep. What are you doing?
Well, she's all like, you know, if you're lagging, you can't get on. You know, anything happens, your internet, even so much as flickers, you call me.
You should call her at 5.
I'm throwing a fit. I'll
fix this. Well, see, now you know why Comcast, when we had Bonnie on, Bonnie Zilla, who used to work for Comcast when we had her on, was so upset because she's one of the ones who helped. Remember when we were having the crazy things going on with Comcast?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's one of the ones who stepped up. She's good at her job. So, I can understand why she's a little bit upset when they fire you. You really, Comcast, you need to hang on to as many good customer service people as you possibly can.
Yes, because I know the ones that can't speak English are cheaper. But I swear to God, if you make me talk to somebody again who cannot say my name, cannot understand that I'm saying my internet is not working, I'm going to scream. And then I'm going to come down to your offices and I'm going to scream.
And then I'm going to speak a different language to you and see how you crazy folks. Okay, well,
I'm going to have a job. But
well, Nintendo is the first one to take a step towards game. Yes. Nintendo games have returned to the UK specialist shop game with the Pandora's Tower limited edition. According to Game, this is a very limited and last print run. From Game's website, the Wii exclusive RPGs cost around €50. The last Nintendo published title to be stocked by Game was Resident Evil Revelations for 3DS,
which was released on 27th of January. Ouch. Subsequent Nintendo published and distributed games including Mario Party 9, The Last Story, Tekken 3DS, Kid Icarus 3D, and Poke Park 2 failed to materialize on game store shelves after it encountered difficulty in securing new stock from publishers. Now, though, after a period of administration that saw the closure of 277 stores, over 2,000 staff let go, and a buyout by Comet owner OpCapita, game is getting back on its feet. According to Eurogamer, it stocked last week's number one game, Star Wars Kinect, published by Microsoft Studios, and will stock The Witcher 2, published by Namco Bandai, and now it seems Nintendo has signed up to. Yay! Nintendo has declined. Nintendo and Game have not responded to any requests for anything to Eurogamer, nor us, nor anybody else on the web. They said, we're working, bitches. So congratulations to Game. We're glad to see you making a comeback. We told you you could do it.
Yay! We hope that you're doing it. So glad.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It is my turn again. This one is kind of short, so I think I'm probably going to grab two. Unreal University coming to ECGC 2012. Epic Games will bring its Unreal University series of educational talks and workshops related to developing games using the Unreal Engine to the East Coast Game Conference, April 25th through the 26th in Raleigh, North Carolina. Cannot talk. Unreal University is an academic initiative sponsored by Epic Games that offers hands-on instructions and guidance to those interested in using Unreal Engine 3 UE3 technology, including the Unreal Development Kit, UDK, to develop games and other software. Anyone registered for ECGC 2012 may attend Unreal University sessions. To view the full Unreal University launch, check the website at www.ecgconf.com/Unreal-University. All right, if you want this whole thing,
yeah, I told him that yesterday, Miss Jen.
Did you? Oh, my bad.
My bad.
All right. Well, then, fine. What have I got? Online petition asks Dark Souls PC makers to dump GFWL support.
Oh.
What inspired From Software and Namco Bandai Games to bring the popular PS3 action RPG Dark Souls to the PC, an online petition is being used to dissuade them from including a certain feature. Around 12,184 of you gamers have signed an online petition. Namco Bandai and From Software released Dark Souls PC Edition without games for Windows Live, asking both companies to reconsider putting games for Windows Live support into Dark Souls prepared to die for Windows. The petition, which there's a link for, but I'm going to make you go get it over at GamePolitics.com because that thing is damn long. The petition says that GFWL is unpopular and provides horrible support for online play, a key feature of the game. All right, so we got a couple of statements here. GFWL is unpopular, difficult to use, inconvenient, has terrible online support, a key feature in Dark Souls, and is downright unpleasant. After anxiously awaiting a PC release for this fantastic game, it feels like a real slap in the face hearing Dark Souls will use games for Windows Live. We recommend Valve Steam Works in place, as the CRM is much easier to use, less intrusive, more reliable, and more accepted among PC gamers. Please reconsider the use of GFWL or offer the game on both services. Thank you for taking the effort to port this game, but for a lot of customers, it's Steam or no sale. They got a point. Comment on the petition page, agree with the statement, and add that there are better forms of DRM that can be used. Many PC gamers just don't like GFWL, so Namco Bandai should probably pay attention to just how many signatures this petition manages to get. And while 12,000 signatures on a negative petition might not seem like a big deal, losing 12,000 cells would not be a good thing for Dark Souls Prepare to Die Edition. You know, on one hand, Steam doesn't need to have every game out there, and it should be offered on both. On the other hand, I have heard horrible, horrible things about games for Windows Live.
And, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know. It seems like they started off doing well with games for Windows Live. And at one point, I tell you what I really loved that they probably should have kept doing was when you played the games on the web, I mean, even before Facebook started putting games on and anybody else started doing the whole casual game thing, they had this service up. And when you won things like, you know, some Microsoft points, you had the chance to win free Xbox Live subscription for a month, a controller, and these were not widely known facts. And I think I saw it like twice, and then I could never get back to it again. It's like they said, oops, let's not do this. But they should have kept it. Do you know how many people would be playing just to get Microsoft points to buy games? Dude, the advertising
true
revenue alone would have just been
yes
epic. Sometimes they don't know what they got when they got it.
You know what? Just go ahead and put my Stargate Resistance over there, and I'll come play.
All right, so Amazon.
For the love of Bob, bring my game back.
Word. Well, Apple and, I'm sorry, not Apple, Amazon and Google. It's everybody's fighting. Fight, I said on Twitter. They're going to fight. Yes.
Fight.
Amazon has launched a new service that is obviously a dig at Google, according to VentureBeat, called Cloud Search, that Amazon Web Services users can embed into their applications and websites. This was just announced today. It's called AWS. Cloud Search's technology is based on the same tech that powers search for Amazon.com. And it aims to make life easier for web developers who want to integrate search into their AWS-hosted sites. Using the tool, developers can also create a search domain and then upload any data they want searchable. Cloud Search then automates the process of allocating resources and indexes needed to process the searches. Mr. Adam Silipsky says, who is the BVP for AWS, well, that's a whole lot of acronyms, darling. For many organizations, search plays a major role in how their customer experience their products or services. Businesses need a sophisticated search capability, hinting that Google is not, to help their customers find the right information quickly. Implementing rich search functionality has traditionally been very expensive and time-consuming due to the complexity of the technology required. He also says Amazon Cloud frees customers from having to worry about all of these complexities so they can easily launch powerful search functionality and pay only for the resources that they use. It also appears that Cloud Search, I got to sneeze.
Bless you.
Thank you. It appears that Cloud Search wants to steal some of Google's thunder in the internal site search. Ideally, Amazon wants its AWS customers to use this tool for customized searches on their sites and not Google or Bing. Ooh, Amazon makes setting up and managing Cloud Search easy by making it accessible through the AWS Management Console and offering Cloud Search APIs as well. However, the cost of using Cloud Search could cause some small-time developers to question deploying it. Our cloud is free that we're being moved to today, just so y'all know. That's why we're moving. It's all free. I love it. I love our host. Cloud Search users are billed on a monthly basis for search instances. Instance types comes in small, large, and extra large, and costs 12 cents, 48 cents, and 68 cents per hour. Ouch. In a practical example, Amazon, if you host up to 100 megabytes of data in your search domain, the minimum you'd pay for a small instance use would be $84.95 per month. Ouch. Now imagine if you start storing large data sets with extra large instances and you can see costs adding up. Anybody who is interested can check it out now at aws.amazon.com/cloud search. And we're staying away from it because, like I said, our cloud is free. We're very happy.
Yes, yes, yes. We love our cloud. Our cloud is awesome.
Look, we just realized they were starting to switch it this morning. They're just like, something's not working. I was like,
why can't I get in? let me in.
Yeah, and Beth is also trying to log in this morning. So some of our things are going to be a little bit off until they get done migrating. But we noticed it loads a lot faster. If it loads faster for you, let us know so we can know if we want to stay in the cloud because they told us we didn't have to. But it is free. We may stay there anyways. Not like we're paying for it.
I like it, yeah.
He likes the cloud.
Mm-hmm. I like the cloud.
Cloud!
All right, Monster Hordes invade for final battle. The final Terra closed beta weekend begins today. Frogster, the publisher of Terra, has thrown down the gauntlet and invites players to take part in the final closed beta phase for Terra. Servers go live at 3 p.m. on Friday the 13th of April and stay open until Sunday the 15th of April at midnight, CEST. Wait a minute, isn't Sunday tax day?
Yes, ma'am. I got to go get some stamps today and get my stuff in the mail. Hello.
Yeah. This gives beta participants plenty of time to set about tackling the ominous threat that is advancing through lands of Terra. Players will also get the chance to defend the metropolis of Velika against an Argon barrage during an exciting in-game event. The game now offers improved features such as an adjustment for their difficulty level for characters below level 15, and further patch details can be found on the official site terra-europe.com. Oh, come on, what, Terra-America? Anyways, what have we got? I've got a list of times for you. I'm going to try to work through these. Server 1, Arboria, their time is going to be 1200 through, so 12 o'clock through 1245. Modes is PvE over there. Velika's is 1300 through 1345. Again, another PvE server. Asenia is a PvP server, RAR, 1400 through 1445. Westonia, another PvP server, 1500 through 1545. Sylvanas, 1645, another PvE server. And lastly, Baldera, another PvE server at 1700 through 1745. So if you play any of these servers, now you know when the attack's going to happen. I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to tell when attacks are going to happen. I don't know. Anyways, so, yeah. If you need to see the times again, I'm going to have this up on GameAndMatrix.com in just a little bit. And we'll head over there and check that out.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Well, what?
I'm not even sure how to take this. It just says, I don't think you're supposed to tell when you're going to attack.
No, you're not supposed to tell, man. Ninjas never tell when they're going to attack. They just do it.
Oh, well, apparently now you're going to know when they're going to attack.
That's why they're vicious. Well, yeah, see, if you know they're going to attack, you prepare, and then you win.
Oh, wow. Okay, so.
I'm telling, you know.
Have you guys heard us talking to you about the new game, Brick Force?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a special treat coming for all of you as of next week. Online games publisher Infernum.
Ice cream.
No, it's not ice cream. Online games publisher Infernum. Wow. Can't talk. Infernum has secured an international all-star lineup of actors who have, amongst others, fittingly voiced the superhero SpongeBob SquarePants, the German, French, Spanish, Turkish, and Polish voice acting veterans have also starred in localized versions of TV shows such as The Simpsons, Pokemon, South Park, and Scooby-Doo. Wow. And will bring Brick Force to life with their vocal energy. Infernum chose the talents of the SpongeBob stars to complement the playful square design of the free-to-play title. After all, the Brick Force characters also wear square pants.
Wow.
The English version will feature Carrie Shales, who's a veteran stage and screen actor who has voiced several video game characters. Shales' many video game voice credits include Driver San Francisco, Bloodstone, Tomb Raider, The Last Revelation, Tomb Raider Chronicles, Dog's Life, Original War, Big Mother Truckers, wow, reach way back for that one, Killzone, Fable, Space Channel 5, Part 2, Blade 2, Viet Cong, Viet Cong 2, Viet Cong Fist Alpha, Urban Chaos, oh, that's my game. Urban Chaos is my game. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Urban Chaos, Imperial Galactic 2, Alliances, and Battalion Wars. Shale has also provided more voices for more video games than any other actor and more voices in a single video game than any other actor. Brick Force is currently still in closed beta, but has exceeded over 500,000 registered users and has been localized in 6 different languages. The Sandbox Shooters open beta will be launched within the next few weeks, but you can go over and register now for a game account if you'd like at www.brick-force.com.
Rawr, Brick Force.
They went out and got some heavy hitters.
Hmm.
And they're a new company. They just were founded last year, 2011, in summer.
Interesting.
All right. They could be the next big thing.
The next big thing. No. The next big thing is us. GamePolitics.com. ESF going to federal court for mega upload users. Did we talk about this? This sounds familiar. Tomorrow, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the EFF, will ask a federal judge to finally establish a process that allows lawful users, including a number of government agencies, of Mega Upload's cloud storage service to reclaim their files. The hearing in USAversus.com is set for 9 a.m. on April 13th, that is today, at the federal courthouse in Alexandria, Virginia, so that's already going on. In January, the U.S. government shut down MegaUpload.com as part of a copyright infringement investigation. By doing this, they also took down lawful content stored on servers. After the government gathered the evidence it needed for its case against Mega Upload and its founders, It left the matter up to server providers, but didn't accept the responsibility of paying the fees related to keeping the data preserved. Luckily, the storage companies involved have refused to delete it, but users still have no legal way to reclaim their now lost files. At Friday's hearing, EFF staff attorney Julie Samuel argued that Mega Upload's customers deserve a court-approved procedure to retrieve their personal and legal property before it is deleted. The writer goes on to say, we will have more on this hearing as information about it is made available, but everyone, even those who believe that that what Mega Upload did was illegal, should agree that users with legal content should not be caught in the middle of this messy situation. A flipping min. And, you know, it doesn't help that technically Mega Upload wasn't doing anything wrong.
Do we need to get on that again?
I think we just need to smack some people.
Word.
Best ball bat.
That's my new word. Word.
Nom, nom.
Well, this week, Laguna Games launched a U.S.-specific version of the browser game Laguna, where Americans can play together and belong to a distinct community within the South Sea Utopia, separate from the international English version of the title, of course. Players can access this version by visiting us.lagunia.com or choosing the American flag on any of the Lagunia. The focus of Lagunia is on the relationships between characters and players. One can plan and create many things that make the island livable and fun, from a warm fire and a cozy shelter to useful fishnets. Oh, man, they had to say fishnets. Ooh. And later in the game, lighthouses and water slides. The game is free and no download is required. The only technical requirements are a browser and an internet connection. The game is currently being featured in the Google Chrome Store. Google is sneaking up behind you, Apple. You just don't see it like we do. With about 75 million registered users at present, InnoGames is one of the world's leading developers and providers of online games. The Hamburg-based company has scored major successes with games such as Tribal Wars, The West, and Grapolis. Mm-hmm. We've talked about those games before.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get us with the fish and Ginger. Ginger's already over there. Look at it. Look, Ginger's already there.
What are you talking about? I would never know.
She's looking up
never.
The ingredients. How do I put together the fish and net now? Mm-hmm.
Nom, nom, nom. I do love me some fishing. All right, so I guess it is my turn, and I was actually looking at a video that is pretty flippin' hilarious, if you ask me. All right, it's not really news, but it's cool, so I'm going to tell you about it anyways. Real-life fruit ninja at 1,200 frames per second.
Wow. I got to see that.
I am pulling this from PopSci, and I'm going to tweet this and as well as send this over to Corey.
Yes.
You know that iPhone game Fruit Ninja where fruits are flying at you and you have to slice them in half with a finger?
Yes, yes.
It's a good, mildly challenging subway diversion. Translate it to the real world, though, and suddenly the air is full of slashing blades and squirting pulp, and it's not nearly as easy to cut fruit in half as you thought it was. The writer says, I found out that the hard way, and wasn't I lucky that our Phantom V641 high-speed high-def camera was to document my shame at 1,200 FPS.
Who is that did it?
It's John Mahoney from over at PopSci, and I am going to link this to you because this is hilarious. And, yeah, I'm going to tweet this as well because you guys need to see this. Just tweeted it. Check it out.
Oh my God.
Oh wait a minute. He's got some kind of knife in his hand. I don't really know what it is. But seriously, that backyard, that's like redneck backyard right there. And only a redneck. Redneck geeks for the win. What?
I got to find your thing on Twitter because you didn't tweet to me. Now I got to find it. Dad got.
Oh, I saw it. Well, I dropped it in the chat too.
It didn't, let me go over here. It didn't, it's not a link, darling.
It's not a link.
Video didn't link.
Oh.
It's not an embed code for us.
Do I have that? Let me see. I'm going to click. Give me an embed. Email, info, okay. Share video.
Something. Yeah, you have to share. You have to share.
Copy link. Share directly to these sites. Twits. Here we go. I just tweeted it. And now I am dropping it over here again.
Ginger's retweeting. Look, we got to see this. Oh, there we go. John Mahoney, you be awesome. I just tweeted that.
That is hilarious.
Oh, Oh, my God. So, you guys, if you're not... Yeah, that is a redneck bag. Oh, my God. Is that a child's Jeep? And a, that is so redneck. Oh, my God.
I know. I told you so. Isn't that hilarious?
That's country. That's country. That's what that is.
The country? All right. My bad. Either way, that is hilarious. I love it.
Country and redneck are interchangeable, but, you know, if it's person of color, you can't call them redneck. So,
yeah.
Country kind of encompasses all those people.
Look at the guy's face. Oh, my God. That is awesome.
I'm going to watch an ad. Stupid ad. Okay, here. Now I'm getting pineapple. He's pineapple ninja. You guys, I hope you're watching this with us. If you're not, if you're at work, you're going to have to search through Ginger's tweets, or I'll retweet it to put it on the main tweet, but oh my God.
I think he just barely even touched that pineapple. Is that pineapple? Oh, the pineapple hit him.
Oh my God.
Oh no, he got the pineapple. Yay!
That is a kitchen knife. Oh my God. That is a kitchen knife, dude. That is not a sword. Do you see that, Ginger?
Yes, that is awesome.
John, you're still awesome.
Yay, he got it again.
The pineapple looked like it hurt.
I want to do this now. That's it. I'm going to go to the store and buy a pineapple later. And, yeah, me and people are going to throw pineapples and cut them.
No, not just you. Well, you need to get pineapples, watermelon, good. The Fruit Ninja has all kinds of fruits. But, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Is he going to get the next one? Oh.
That was hilarious.
His face is just priceless.
No, it's great.
Hey, he got it. He really got it. Dude, you're kind of dangerous. Oh, that was awesome. I'm almost going to log in so we can post. John, thank you for the entertainment this morning. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. Okay, we got to move along. Whew. Sony has got a hit on their hands. MotorStorm, RC. Yeah, it's been downloaded 19 times a minute. It's play, and an event starts every second. Every second. According to Eurogamer, MotorStorm RC publisher Sony has posted an impressive list of stats for the PlayStation 3 and Vita racer. Did you know there are 19 downloads of MotorStorm every minute, like I just told you? Mm-hmm. Presumably, that counts for both the PS3 and Vita versions, which you can get at a single purchase of either both. Does it also count downloads of the free trial is what they're wondering. Somewhere in the world, of course, someone starts a RC MotorStorm event every second, and every 60 seconds sees two new PSN friendships forms, two in-game challenges set, and eight MotorStorm RC PlayStation trophies earned. I did get to play MotorStorm at a Best Buy a couple weeks ago with the 3D glasses.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't 3D glasses. I think I told you all about this. I was really impressed. Sometimes these console developers have some really neat things that they don't push so that we can see them, but it allows you to play, instead of a split screen with the person, you can play on the same screen, but you have to have the glasses. So,
yes, I saw that. That was interesting. And like four people could play with those things.
Yeah, it was really awesome, and I don't think PS3 really pushed that hard enough, and it really let people, you know, put it in the store somewhere. Do a tour like Nintendo does. That's how Nintendo gets people. They come to people. They come to their town.
Yes.
So you tour, just kind of people trying the glasses, I guarantee you your sales would go through the roof, because if I didn't have a PlayStation and you, a racing game, and I can play, I don't have to have a split screen with, you know, four or five people, that is awesome. That's something really good you should take advantage of. Imagine, they could do a Fable that way. Remember they were talking about a two-player Fable?
Ooh, that would be nice.
Fable where you could play sitting next to the person, you two could adventure together and go off on your own way if you wanted to, because I always want to go off my own way.
Wow, see, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking about, is, you know, you could play an MMO that way.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Mm. I like that. Somebody get on that.
All right, do it.
Don't even have to pay me for, pay us for the idea. Somebody do it.
Do it.
That is cool. All right, hold up. I was editing some HTML real quick.
Would you like to do another?
No, I got it. Rule the Railway has become the greatest transport tycoon in the world.
Oh, Lord.
The Train Giant is out now. Yeah. All right, so UIG Entertainment, a leading German game publisher, has today released The Train Giant, a city development and management simulation for the PC, available for all good retailers, with a recommended retail price of £19.99, pounds, francs, lindens, L-sign. I think that's pounds. I really do. The train giant challenges players to take on the complex role of CEO of a train company tasked with building and maintaining all elements of urban and transport development for their city. From ensuring the trains run on time to investing wisely in the stock market, players have a large amount of freedom to expand their small community into a large, bustling metropolis. Players will need to make smart strategic decisions to attract businesses, keep the as well as making a hefty profit for their company in the process. With inspired by the world's most impressive cities, giant hours of simulating.
Oh, GLaDOS has you. GLaDOS has you.
GLaDOS, you get up off me. I will stab you in the face, GLaDOS.
Oh, and as soon as you said that, she just lets you go. You know what I picture when that happens? She's laughing. Uh-oh, Ginger.
Man. Is she on me again?
Oh, no. Go ahead. Run.
All right, so developed by award-winning Japanese developer ArtThink, The Train Giant is the latest installment of the internationally acclaimed A-Train series. All right, you want to see some more about this? Head over to GameMatrix.com this morning. Go do it.
Do it.
Do it.
All right, apparently Spider-Man is not so amazing.
Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's so not so amazing. He's not going to be really
like Batman.
Yeah. No, you probably were singing this. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web.
A pig.
Any size. Yeah, I know the lyrics. That's right, from the original Spider-Man cartoon. What? So anyway, Canadian developer Beatbox is best known for its Spider-Man games, Edge of Time, Shattered Dimensions, and the upcoming film tie-in, The Amazing Spider-Man. I'm sorry, Amazing Spider-Man. There's no Z in front. You got to get it right. But before this, Beatbox worked on Fist Firehead, a 3D platform shooter set to be an exclusive for the original Xbox. In Microsoft's eyes, Fist Firehead was a game so bad that it didn't even want it released on the original Xbox.
Wow, that bad.
And it was when it was that bad, and Microsoft said, go away, the publisher, Majesco, said, they're not publishing it. We're not going to do it either, which effectively condemned Fisthead to an early death, Fist Firehead. So they have been so brave.
That's strong.
They're being brave, and they've actually posted up the footage for how bad this game was online. They say it was flat-out rejected by Microsoft as an Xbox release candidate on the grounds of it being irredeemably terrible, something Microsoft almost never does.
I'm sorry, you've seen that one. Yeah. When I have to review some of those bad games, it's going to be unredeemably terrible.
Anyway, but if you pop around on the internet, there's some alpha footage of the game from 2003. Was spotted by Supernonation over at Eurogamer. Ooh, and it is horrible, I gotta say. Good gravy, it is horrible. Oof.
That is not good. That is not good.
Don't do it. Don't do it. By the way, Ginger.
What?
Remind me to talk to you about something that somebody wants us to do. I just got it in my mailbox. I just don't want to forget. Everybody's listening on air going, what? I can't tell you.
You know, she says this, but she says it so slowly. I'm like, oh, geez.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, geez.
We'll both suffer. I'll suffer with you.
Aww. All right. Oh, yay.
That was so fake.
Totally. Beware a fake Angry Birds face version. No. I told you that game was evil.
Uh-huh.
There's a fake version of Angry Birds face in Google Play, formerly known as Android Marketplace, containing infectious malware. Rovio warns users not to be fooled. As you get ready to pop pigs in zero gravity, watch out for fake versions of Angry Birds face and make sure to download Safe by getting the official game from Rovio. The malicious download is a functional version of Angry Birds Space that gains access to your phone using a Trojan horse called Andrew/Kung Fu-L, according to web security firm Sophos. The cyber criminals behind the fake game can direct your phone to any website once you have installed their Trojan.
Let me see if I got a Trojan. Nope.
Only download the official version of the game to avoid infecting your phone. The official version of Angry Birds Space in Google Play is not. Angry Birds Space, the latest edition of the popular board game, has released March 22nd for Android, iOS, Mac, and PCs. It's downloaded 10 million times in just three days. Holy crap, people, stop with that game. The original version of Angry Birds is the most popular download of all time, having reached the 500 million milestone in November 2011. people stop playing this game. This game is the reason why the zombies are going to happen.
Look, and that's what I have running in the background.
It's so hard, Corey. So hard.
That's Angry Bird's face. Okay, anyway. Wow. Ginger, stop trying to choke me.
Wasn't me this time.
Okay, well, the thing is, people, you wouldn't get any Trojans and viruses if you had an antivirus on your phone. Yes, you should have one. There are free ones. There's one from Avast. There's one from Lookout Mobile. And there's also, well, I prefer the one from Lookout Mobile, of course. They have one for iPhone and for Android. It also has the iScream thing built in. Locate phone. If you don't know what the Scream thing is, it means it's an alarm for your phone. And if you lose it and you can't figure out where it is, when you go to find it, you left it at the grocery store, you can say if anybody picks it up, the alarm's going to go off, just like a car alarm, and it'll also wipe your phone from a distance or lock them out so they can't use it, period. They can't even go jailbreak it. Destroy the phone. Screw it. You can't have it.
Destroy the phone.
I can't have it. You can't have it either. So you should have antivirus on your phone, people, by now.
Yes.
All right. So we got about 5 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
We can do it.
We can do it.
I don't know if I can do it.
We can totally do it.
What are we doing?
I don't know, but it's your turn.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Okay. I'd be a bad girl today. I being a very bad girl today. Okay, so let me glance on, because I had a story, but then I found it like I finished in 5 minutes. But we will tell you this. Nintendo has partnered with Crave Online to create what they're calling a digital spirit camera. Yeah. they've announced that let me back up. So this is from Evolve Media Corp's Crave Online, and they are, of course, one of the fastest-growing next-gen male lifestyle sites. Mm-hmm. They've announced today that they're launching their newest custom creation, a frightening destination that takes the user on a virtual journey across what appears to be the homepage of multiple Crave Online, Crave-owned sites, allowing them to experience the world of Spirit Camera, the cursed memoir. Remember, we were talking about this last year at E3. We wanted to play it, which is a visceral 3D horror experience only available on the Nintendo 3DS. The game is going to be available today, Friday the 13th. Yes, they did it on purpose. To convey the bone-chilling nature of Spirit Camera, the cursed memoir, Crave created a haunting interactive experience which introduces users to the protagonist of the game, a girl named Maya, who has been hiding in the darkness of an old house cursed by the woman in black. Upon arriving in the custom destination, a mysterious booklet called the Minus Diary of Faces appears amid black smoke, which helps users along the journey. Maya comes out.
I'm sorry. Any book that shows up in black smoke, don't touch.
Maya comes out pleading for help until ghostly hands grab her, pulling her back into the book.
What did I tell you?
You should yell out Arrested Momentum or Aloha Mora. Okay, so from there,
bad pot.
Users must capture images of the ghosts as they are looking through the lens of the spirit camera as they delve deeper into Maya's world, thus furthering the user's journey across myanimelist.com, actiontrip.com, and theshocktillyoudrop.com. Each site the user visits along the journey sends users into different haunted scenarios, all while intertwining ghoulish themes and scary elements of the spirit camera, the cursed memoir game. At the end of the day, the user is surprised by a truly arresting image from the spirit camera, the cursed memoir game, along with a video of the game trailer and the ability to share the experience on Facebook. The entire experience is filled with chilling graphics, including 3D-like effects, at which point a decaying hand appears to jump out of the screen and grab the user, and terrifying sounds that come from the dark, shadowy pages, leaving readers with a branded experience they won't forget. Crave Online has created a truly one-of-a-kind interactive online experience that haunts, excites, and most importantly, engages users with the spirit camera, the cursed memoir game. Can you please stop it? John Kiefer, who's the general manager of Crave Online and the vice president of Evolve Media, that's his quote. So if you would like to play, I don't know, it doesn't say if you need to, I guess you do need to have a 3DS to do this part, the beginning part. It's terrortrip.craveonline.com. It does sound rather unique, and I, for one, would like to check it out. Crave people, if y'all want to send us a copy, we'd love to have
it. Send us.
Notice we send us. Give us. But it's time for us to get out of here. It is. And we got something to do. Ginger's going to kill me about. So y'all pray for me.
Oh, no.
Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you guys bright and early on Monday for Lunch with Ginger and Corey. And, of course, you catch us Tuesdays and Thursday nights for Pixinista and This Week in Gaming. And bye.
Later.
Jen.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah!